Is it time to up your social media game? Then you need to talk to Kate and Ave Communications, a social media agency located right here in Edmonton, specializing in all things social media, from quality storytelling, content creation, and strategic social media management. So stop doing social media off the side of your desk. Contact Kate and Ave at kateandave.com and give them a follow on Instagram at kateandavecomms, C-O-M-M-S, for great social media content, tips, and tricks.
All right, everybody, welcome back to The Bits. We took some summertime off, but now more than ever, we've got to get on here and have a really important conversation. So here we are. This is Quinn.
This is Claire. And we are down a Paulina because she is up a baby.
So there's congratulations, Paulina, welcoming little Clarky to the world.
Yeah, mini bit. Okay, so quick backdrop for everyone listening. As of September 1st, Alberta brought in Bill 29, which is called the Fairness and Safety in Sport Act. According to the Government of Alberta website, this ensures athletes are able to participate in the sports they love fairly, safely, and meaningfully. So what this actually means is if you're a girl 12 or older and you want to play in a female-only league, you now have to sign off that your sex recorded at birth was in fact female. And there's a process for someone to challenge that eligibility. And this is, you know, being rolled out in schools and amateur sports as of September 1st. So living that is one of our guests today, Leah, who has two daughters in sport. Her youngest just recently had to sign off on her gender to be able to play high school sports. We're also incredibly proud to be joined by Canadian rugby superstar and Olympic bronze medalist Jen Kish, who I have been fangirling on since she logged in. Jen, you lived women's sport at the highest level, and you've been such a strong advocate for the LGBTQ plus community. We really want to hear your perspective on the impact that this has on girls in sport, for teams, for coaches, and for women's sports as a whole?
That is like such a loaded question. I'm going to try to answer it all, but I'm probably going to miss some of it.
We're going to break it down for you. Don't you worry. Yeah, don't you worry.
So let's start with like my reaction to this law. First and foremost, when I heard about this, you know, in my opinion, this law isn't about fairness or safety. It's about exclusion. It singles out trans and non-binary athletes and tells them that they don't belong. Mm-hmm. And as an Olympian, I know sport is supposed to build resilience and opportunity and belonging, and this law strips all of that away. So I was very sad when September 1st came to know that, you know, there's going to be kids out there who have no placement or belonging in sport because of this. I think this not only hurts, you know, trans and non-binary people, I think it also hurts, you know, cisgender mm-hmm. people as well. And I say that because had this law be in place 20 some years ago when I was playing, okay, and I was thicker than most females, more aggressive. You know, I was taller. My whole stature was, you know, very, very big. And that's why I, you know, competed in football against boys, even mm-hmm. in high school. And had this law been in place 20 some years ago, I would have had so many parents. I would have been a target of so many parents and coaches wondering, like, if I was actually female because I'm not fitting the female definition of what a female should look like. Mm-hmm. You know, I look the way I look. So I think this is problematic for every child across the board, and not to mention having to, I can't imagine, like, you know, Leah, you're a parent of a non-binary child. You know, I have a daughter, but if I, you know, on the birth certificate, You have to make a choice, and that choice is going to change everything with laws like this in place. If you put the child as non-binary, well, they're not going to be able to play sport. Like, and they're not going to understand why. And I just think this is so harmful, and it's just fear-based.
I want to go back to you said a lot there, Jen. You talked about almost like this not fitting the mold, right? And I can relate to that too. People used to mistake me for a boy all the time when I was younger, and I played on boys' teams as well. But you're even if getting out of that, like what someone's haircut is like or something like that. You talked about strength, and I think it concerns me that it's. Do you think that there's something here that's saying don't be strong because you'll look too strong, or like these are things that would be a point of pride, I would assume. Like Jen, you've put a ton of work into being strong, especially into adulthood and into your pro career. But like, I just worry about that too, where it's like now you have to worry about how you look and how you present yourself, which is already in teenage minds in an unhealthy way. It just Yeah, Leah, I can tell you've got teenage girls. So yeah, I don't. And I just remember being a teenager, and that just feels like piling it on in a way that's really unhealthy.
Yeah, 100%. And you know what? Like, fairness has never meant sameness. You know, like at the Olympics, I competed against women with huge natural advantages, height, strength, speed. That was competition. We didn't ban them. You know, we rose to the challenge. And the only time we call someone unfair is when they're trans, like, to be honest. And that's not fairness, that's discrimination. And it's sad that, you know, you don't want these athletes, these youth kids growing up, like, not wanting muscles, or they can't cut their hair short because, like, they're going to be discriminated against, or they're going to be judged, or, like, it just is so not healthy. And I worry about my daughter growing up in this world. You know, like, is this something, like, I don't know who she's going to be, what she's like, how she's going to identify. I don't know, but my concern is, like, I'm however she identifies and whatever she wants to do, that her, like, that she's going to be welcomed into it and not discriminated against. And I just, I it really angers me. I care so much about kids and sport, and sport is supposed to be inclusive, and this definitely goes against what sport is about.
I mean, sports made us, for the most part, I think everybody in this group who we are today. I can say that I was a competitive swimmer. I can put a lot of work in and be pretty bored at it because I stared at the bottom of a pool. Anyways, Leah, we're gonna bring you into the conversation. But one thing I think that was really important that she brought up yesterday was that we don't want to create an echo chamber. We want to be able to kind of put ourselves and consider the perspective of those who are in favor of this bill. And I think that probably comes. I think many experts would say that the biggest gap is often education. So with that in mind, we have done some research here that we hope will help everyone understand transgender athletes in sports. So number one, first and foremost, not near enough biomedical, sociocultural research has been done. We still do not completely understand the effects that transitioning has on transgender men and women and how that will affect them in athletics at an elite level. So in 2022, the Canadian Centre for Ethics in Sport posted a roundup of all the research done to that point, and the science was nowhere near good enough because these studies, which concluded on pre and post hormone replacement therapy advantage held by trans women athletes, either used cisgender males in the study or sedentary trans women as proxies for elite athletes. That is not a comparable. Fast forward, we finally have something a little bit more substantive in 2024 compared to. So in 2024, this study actually compared standard laboratory performance metrics of transgender athletes to cisgender athletes. So a direct comparison. This study was accepted and published in the British Journal of Sports Medicine. So this is a verified study. It concluded that transgender athletes test worse than cisgender women in lower body strength. They performed worse in tests measuring lung function. Transgender women had a higher percentage of fat mass, lower fat-free mass, and weaker hand grip strength compared to cisgender men. Transgender women's bone density was found to be equivalent to that of cisgender women, which is linked to muscle strength. And there were no meaningful differences between the two groups' hemoglobin profiles, which is a key factor in athletic performance. Then we go on to continue to tell you this story. In no way have transgender women dominated when competing in women's sports. This is an American study, but of the 500,000 athletes in the NCAA, there are only around 10 athletes that are transgender. This means, number one, that there are very few transgender women competing in sport, and on top of it, number two, as I mentioned, there are very, very few who make it to the elite level. Transgender athletes have been allowed to compete at the Olympics since 2004. If they have competed, none have won a medal until 2021, because it was in 2021 that openly transgender athletes competed. Non-binary Canadian soccer player Quinn is the first transgender athlete to win a medal at the Olympics. Of course, how could any of us forget? Also, it was a gold medal when the Canadians beat the Swedes, of course. There were only two other transgender women at those games. Laurel Hubbard, a weightlifter from New Zealand. She did not place after being unable to complete her first three lifts. She was nowhere near the strongest woman in competition. The other was Chelsea Wolf, a cyclist, was a reserve on the U.S. women's BMX freestyle team. So I repeat, they are in no way dominating in women's sports. So in no way is this unfair. And I will say it, I am sick of hearing the rhetoric. If Mike Tyson just decided he was a woman, would you want a woman to fight him? And my response is always, Mike Tyson would not be Mike Tyson if he transitioned.
Drop the mic.
I'm so frustrated. And Leah, you are living this right now with your children. Just take us through what is going on in your household and how this is affecting everybody in your household.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I had first heard about the farm actually, unfortunately, around the same time as the book bans kind of were announced. But the book bans went into effect first, and the book bans were already sort of being repealed before this was supposed to go into effect. So I kind of thought, oh, this is just a flash in the pan thing. It's not real. They would never do this. This is just a thing to, you know, incite certain vote, like, you know, to excite certain voters that they want to, you know, draw attention to, whatever, make certain, you know, stakeholders happy, whatever. And then, you know, my oldest came home and, or I think she might have just like texted me and said, you won't believe what I have to do for my athletes, because she's coaching for the first year. She was really worried about it. And she just thought, like, why would I do this? And she just turned 20. So her memory of being a teenage girl and being worried about your body or about being judged or about being picked on or about seeing other athletes being judged or picked on is real recent. Mm-hmm. That feels like it was yesterday. And, you know, there were times where, like, we came up in small town Alberta and there were no girls that played at her level. So in order to have, you know, competitive play for her, I would drive into town and we would find a pickup game and my daughter would play against the boys. And one of my concerns with some of this type of legislation is this is the first step. This is the first thing they did. What comes next? Right. So does that mean that girls won't be allowed in pickup games, co-ed games? She also plays in a co-ed rec league. Will that not be allowed? Like, where will this end? And when she went to go give out the forms, she wasn't allowed to. I went through the school administration. They were not allowed to ask any questions. At most, one of the girls said, you know, does this apply to the boys too? And they were told no. And when they said why, they weren't given an answer. It's just that's how it is. And frankly, that's not the kind of society I want to live in. It's certainly not the kind of educational system I want my kids coming up in, where they're not ever allowed to ask why and be provided with a reasonable response to it. And then, so that happened sort of on the first round. My youngest, though, was trying out for volleyball through school. It was a few days later just because of the scheduling. And we're like, maybe there will be enough uproar that she won't get it. And then, sure enough, nope, her form comes home and she's livid because she knows what it feels like to get picked on and she knows what it feels like to have people point out, if you're standing in a volleyball net or on a field or whatever and have some girl whispering at you, accusing you of things. And I think we forget too that a formal complaint doesn't have to be filed for this to be very dangerous and very destructive. You've got girls whose mental health is so fragile right now. It's so frustrating because I feel like the same people that are like, oh, no, it's about mental health, but then at the same time jeopardize all of these girls' mental health. Like, I imagine the girl that wants to try out for the team for the first time, but knows she'll have to fill out this form. And even if she's cis, if she doesn't fit into that box, she might decide to opt out. And then that's her opportunity gone. Like, rugby is a great example of a sport that you join late. You tend to join it in junior high or high school, right? Right when your hormones are going buck wild. Every sensation feels so big. And it's like we forget what it feels like to be a teenager, where every little problem feels like the end of the world. And yet we're putting more pressure on these kids. We're making it more dangerous for them for no reason. And, I've mentioned this earlier, and I'll bring it back here, but, we've talked a bit here about the kids that this will hurt, the kids that don't fit into the box. Or even the kid that maybe fits in the box but doesn't think that they do and doesn't want to take the risk because trying out for sports can feel like a risk for a lot of girls, right? But I think the other thing is, who does this help? It doesn't feel like this helps anyone. And the discourse that I have online, because I've written a few things and I have hundreds of people in my comments saying things like, well, what? You just want men in your daughter's change room? Well, no, I don't want men in my daughter's change room, but I don't want snakes in my daughter's change room either. But I don't need legislation to prevent it because that's not a thing that's happening. So we're preventing a problem that doesn't exist while hurting kids. And that seems like a terrible use of resources.
I have to say I really agree with that, with all of what you said, but that final point on, the position of this being about safety. And if this was really about safety, then why don't the boys have it? Because trans boys aren't at risk of being unsafe in that environment. Like it
Yeah,
just,
exactly. Like, if that's the case, then any trans boy would also be in danger, right? Because you're now declaring that they were born female at birth and that they are in danger by playing with the boys. Or it also sends, we've mentioned here, a number of us have played on boys' teams. So now girls can't play on boys' teams. So what about, you hear this positioning that, oh, well, we'll provide funding for that. No, you won't. And in small town Alberta, there are not enough of these exceptions to create separate teams. And we know that because if there were, there would have been
I
girls
don't
hockey
think
teams.
they make up such a small percentage of the population that I don't think anywhere there is enough to create a completely separate league.
And you don't get to kick kids out first and then fix the problem later. If that's going to be the stance, then you provide the funding. You create the co-ed leagues and then you fill them and then you put this legislation into place, completely removing a path for trans athletes and non-binary athletes to compete while providing zero path for them that's an alternative is not reasonable.
Seems like a weird age to kick it off with, too. Right?
I was just gonna say that, like, why 12? Like, the age 12 cutoff isn't science. It's politics. Like
Yeah.
puberty doesn't begin at the same for everyone, and many trans kids are on treatments that, change how puberty happens. So saying they belong until they're 12 and then suddenly don't is like arbitrary and cruel. It's not fairness at all. Like,
Yeah, I went through puberty at like 10 or 11. I was younger,
yeah, exactly.
right?
Yeah.
So, yeah,
And
frustrating.
having this conversation with my 14-year-old and my 20-year-old is one thing, but we have quite a few kids in our lives that are around sort of like the 11, 12 age group. They're kid like kids, little kids. Like this isn't even like a teenager that can be mad and sort of like defend herself a little bit, maybe. No, these are children that you're coming for.
And then even as you go out from that like center ring, as you go out, the impact of this, now teachers, I've seen some posts about like, teachers need to stand against it, don't hand out the forms. Parents need to stand against it, don't sign the forms. But then you're putting all this pressure on the wrong people because personally, I think teachers' jobs are hard enough as it is, and they are always trying to do what, right by their kids. And so, are they going to lose? Like, they'll lose their job if they don't do it. And then parents, you don't sign it, but then your kid doesn't get to play, like for the majority of kids, right? So it's like it's all wrong. This pointing fingers at like you should be doing it this way, and you should like that bothers me too because really. To your point, Leah, earlier, there's no clear why. And so all this, like, who needs to own it is falling on the wrong people. The kids, the coaches, the parents, the teachers, when really there's no clear why. And to me, that is why it's this waterfall effect of it's being, put on everybody else to fix. And it's just not okay. It's not good for anybody.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I think about a lot too is when you don't have anybody in your life that is trans or is non-binary, then these people become just a myth. They're not real to you. So signing this form seems harmless. And it's almost like the flip side of it, where it's like it feels like it hurts no one, but it helps your kid, right? So why wouldn't you sign it?
Right.
Of course you would sign it. And like if, we're all obviously really big advocates of girls in sport, of everybody having a path to sport. So the idea that the solution is to take it away from our kids feels really wrong. And it's a really hard argument to make for parents. And I don't think it's the right one. And honestly, I think that one of the things that we've seen politically is that attacks on transgender women in particular are an attack on women writ large. So keeping girls out of sport, I don't think is the right solution. Like unless we've got some like incredible MVP players that are willing to absolutely kibosh their high school teams to make this happen, I don't think we have enough leverage unless everybody did it collectively. And by that, the time that that's done, you know what? Like volleyball season, done. Hockey season, halfway through, right? Like basketball season, halfway done. And those kids are going to miss one of the most crucial years in their, sports careers.
Jen, what does this do to sport in Alberta? I mean, we already struggle to keep girls in sports, and teenage years is when they're moving out of it.
You know, there's prior to 2016, let's just talk rugby sevens specifically. Rugby was there weren't a lot of females wanting to play sport. Like the dropout rate, I forget the statistics, so we're gonna have to pull it up. But the
I think
dropout
it's like
rate,
half.
I think it was more than half. Like,
I
because I
read that.
remember doing a I remember doing an event with Canadian Tire where it was, just females only, and it was bringing them into sport, and it was like underprivileged families who couldn't afford it. So Canadian Tire puts it on. I think it's kid. We'll have to look into that too. It's been many, many years.
I can see
Good start.
the logo. I
Good
yeah,
start.
kickstart, yeah.
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 Okay. So basically with that, they were trying to get females back in sport. And I remember after the Olympics in 2016 when we won bronze, there was a huge spike in females joining sport. I know within Rugby Canada, there were an astronomical amount of registrations that they have never seen before. And that was the, you know, that was the power of seeing women's sport on TV and exposing how powerful women's sport is and entertaining and all these things that went against the narrative of why women's sport can't sell. Okay. So there was a huge growth in it, which is amazing. But when you start putting barriers in front of sport, you're going to reverse that impact that we had at 2016 with females wanting to play. And rugby is a sport that like accepts everyone. Heights, sizes, like we accept everyone. Rugby is the sport that takes, you know, the average athlete from basketball and makes them a superstar in rugby. Like that is just what rugby is. And so having a barrier in place like this law, like it is going to be so huge, like a negative impact on kids' involvement in sport. Like people have this misconception that like trans athletes are taking over and they're taking my daughter's spot, and this like very false narrative, but it's not true. Quinn, you said at the beginning of this podcast, you listed facts. You can't argue with facts. And so it's just up to people if they want to listen to those facts or they want to continue on a fear-based narrative that trans are taking over. They absolutely are not. Okay. It's hard. Like, how many trans kids do we know? Like, I played in sport for 20 some years. I hadn't had one trans kid try to take my spot on the team. I argued this on Threads on Instagram. And someone said, yeah, well, everyone was hiding, now they're all out. And now because you're retired, you don't care, you don't want to protect women's sport. And so now they're taking spots. And it's like, really? And they use a couple athletes as an example. And one of the athletes being, was it Leah, the swimmer?
Oh, the swimmer, the NCAA swimmer.
Right.
Yeah, and people take that situation, and every situation is very different, but they want to take that situation and apply it across the board. And it's like, wait a minute, that is so very different than what we are talking about right now with trans youth competing. And in order to get to an Olympic level, there is so much testing and things that they need to do in order to be on the fair level of things. But no, let's take the swimmer and do a blanket like a blanket statement on how this is why it's wrong. It absolutely enrages me. Like, how can we use that specific situation, apply it to trans kids or non-binary kids, and say you're because of this, you cannot participate. It's entirely unfair.
Well, and it comes back to that whole conversation we had earlier about age, right? Like, why 12, right? So if this is about Olympic sport and professional women's sports, and like, I don't even want to go down that path. We don't have time for that conversation today, but that is a different conversation. We are talking about adults who are fully developed, and we are talking about high levels of competition where there are big reward and payoffs, right? So Quinn is chomping at the bit here, but that
I'm because the Leah Thomas
Yeah, that was.
example is such a big one for me.
Yeah.
And it drives me nuts. Do you want to know what the problem was?
Can
That
you?
was just a shitty class of athletes because, frankly, she was nowhere near any NCAA records. She wouldn't even come close to Katie Ledecky in the pool. She wouldn't come close to Summer McIntosh in the pool. It's just unfortunate that the other girls that were competing that year just weren't as good.
So can you actually give a quick
Period.
overview of that situation, Quinn? Or that reference?
So Leah
Or Jen?
Thomas was the first openly transgender athlete to compete at the NCAA swimming championships, and she won the 500-yard freestyle event back in 2022. And this was an event where parents brought signs. There was it made news all over the place.
Yeah, I
But
remember that.
unfortunately, what didn't make news is the fact that she still was not even close to the fastest woman in America in that event. And I don't know why that got missed.
You know
Pisses
what's
me off.
what is wild to me is like people equate someone's physical attributes to a skill. Like if you are an athlete, in order to be a great athlete, it's skill. Skill is required. Sprinters, it requires skill. Sprinting is definitely a skill. It's not something that like you may have certain genetics that might be better than your next, but you have to learn how to sprint. Like you can't have a dog leg when you're running. You have to make sure that you know like your knees are coming through. Like it is a skill. Rugby is a skill. I you know what, one year my coach decided to, and this was hilarious, but you know sometimes coaches go a little bit crazy before the Olympics and they do some wild stuff. And so he decided to have athletes from all other sports who weren't competing in their sport at the time to try out for rugby sevens. He was looking for an extra punch for our team. I don't know what he thought we were missing, but he was like, so he brought in all these different athletes, like MMA fighters to volleyball players, like the elite of their sport that he brought them in. And I just remember laughing, and not at them, but at the fact that he thought that these athletes, where he was looking at their stature of like height and weight and body composition and seeing, you know, like that would give them the edge. That would give us as a team an edge having a player like that. But let me tell you, when these players hit the field, they could not keep up. They like if you couldn't catch, like there's things that they were missing fundamentally in rugby.
This is
And
such a good example.
they were not great players. Oh my gosh, our slowest player would outbeat one of the fastest players that he brought in. So it's kind of like people have to remember that just because you're built a certain way, or these trans athletes who are entering these sports, like they still have to work hard, they still have to acquire the skill and be dedicated and all the other things that make up an athlete and then perform.
And they're held to the same standard as everyone else on that team.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I feel like people forget that. Like if you think sport is just about size and weight and all these physical attributes, then like you're wrong. You're wrong. You're absolutely, then everybody can be an Olympian.
Yeah,
And
that's
then that
a good
brings me
point.
to Leah, something that we chatted about before this. There's other things that make sports much more unfair. Can you talk about some of those aspects? We talked about it yesterday.
Well, when I did want to touch on something too, because I think like we spend a lot of time being like, they're not a threat, they're not a threat, they're not a threat, they're not a threat, right? It's not a problem. But I want to be a little bit cautious about that. And I know that that's going to sound like scary, but hear me out. And it's because trans women are women and they should be able to compete in sport. And part of the reason, like I would say, like Jen, to your point, that they probably aren't competing at the same level that they could be is because they aren't being given the same opportunities, right? They're not being given the same training, the same path. They're being kept out of sport already, so they don't have an opportunity to rise to those same levels. So eventually, hopefully, we do see a bunch of trans athletes really performing exceptionally well. But we expect, based on the science that we know so far, that they'll probably perform just like cis athletes, right? But I don't want to like double down on this idea that trans athletes aren't a threat, because that implies that they are a threat too on the flip side. And no, they're not, right? These are just, especially in the class that we're talking about, these are just kids. We are talking about children. Children do not pose a threat. But I did want to bring up sort of like the body type thing and sort of these physical advantages. So as I've mentioned, you know, our whole family, it's volleyball all day, every day. The thing is, I have shrimps. Like my kids are little, you know. My oldest played outside, which if you don't know, is an attacker position. It's the one flying through the air, smashing the ball. Like literally when you get a point, it's called a kill. You know, if you're not familiar with volleyball kind of thing. She's 5'6". She doesn't have a hope in hell. And as she got older, it was either you have to drop to a different position, but if you want to keep playing that position, you have to work harder than everybody else. You have to lift more weights than everybody else. You have to outpower them, outsmart them, out everything them, because the girls on the other side of the court are going to be 6'4". So does that mean that either she is in danger and should not be allowed to play? No, I don't think any of us would argue that. Of course not. You know, or does it mean that the girl that is just naturally 6'4" should not be allowed to play because she's a danger to my kid? No, that's ridiculous. And we see these examples in many, many sports, and I would say especially team sports, right? Like rugby is another great example. You know, my best friend, her daughter is 5'10", but like a buck 20 soaking wet. And her sport of choice is rugby. We don't understand it. Why this little string bean was like, I love rugby. We don't know, but she loves it, loves it. And I think her quote to me was that Michaela gets absolutely barrel rolled by girls twice her size, 25 times a day, gets herself back up and keeps going and loves it. That's part of sport. Right? That's part of competition. And like when you are that smaller player, then you work harder at other skills, right? You try to outsmart them. You try to use your smaller stature to your advantage, right? So my daughter was smaller, but she was faster because she's in a smaller frame. She can be more nimble. She can turn midair, things like that. You know, it's not, you know, to top up on Jen's point, which was so well made, it's not just about how you're built. You know, and there are plenty of girls out there. Like, if you've seen NCAA volleyball, it is quite the sight to behold. You're talking girls that are 6'8", 6'10", with a wingspan that, you know, would rival Michael Phelps kind of thing. But there are also girls on those courts that are 5'8", you know, and teensy tiny and just figure out a different way to play. And that's part of the fun of sport. Like, I think we all love looking at somebody and being like, oh my God, like, how did, like, I also love basketball, right? So, like, you think about the WNBA right now, and like some of the players that are so teeny tiny, you're like, how did that point guard do that? But she's using her size to her advantage. The fact that she's small and nimble, she's getting in and around these larger players. So, this idea that, like, oh, well, if boys walk onto the court, then whatever. But also, boys are not walking onto the court. Trans girls are walking onto the court, right? So I think we always have to dispel that whole, no, that's not a thing. That was a problem that was made up. But even if it was, it would still be negligible. It's not a thing.
I have a question for both of you. If we're thinking of, the other side of this argument, like we talked about at the very beginning, which feels really hard, for myself included. But is, in your opinion, is there a compromise here to, I don't have the answer. I don't have my own answer. That's a tough question. But like, what would that look like? I guess my answer would be, I do have an answer. I take it back. But I would ask you, I would ask our guests, and of course you too, Quinn, but like, if there were three things that you could put in place instead of this particular act, this Bill 29, what would they be as a alternative measure to the solution they are trying to get to? Is that, this is obviously off script. But does that make sense? Does my question make sense? Like, what would you do different if we had to put something in place? What would be done differently? Or do you have, three things that you would have done differently?
I'll let you go first, Leah. I'm thinking. A
So
tough
I've
question.
thought about this a bit. I think the first thing that you have to do, so actually, like, I'm an analyst by trade, so like figuring out what is the actual problem that somebody is trying to solve, especially if they come to you, they tell you a problem. Often people don't explain their problems very well, right?
Define the
They have a hard
problem.
time wrapping their words around it and really getting to the root of the thing. So you have to ask, what is the problem that they're trying to solve? And we could argue that the problem that they're trying to solve is to keep girls safe, right? Well, if the problem that they're trying to solve is to keep girls safe, then that should be written into the legislation and should be more clear. Thing one. Thing two is you should identify the causes that introduce harm to girls in sports, right?
I don't think
And
it's trans athletes.
that is not one of them,
I think
right?
it's
So,
something totally different.
yeah, it's almost like it's the opposite of trans athletes.
Yes.
If you want to genuinely protect girls in sport and keep them invested and involved because you're keeping them safe, then go identify the number one causes of harm to girls in sport
Such a
that
good
force them
call,
to drop
Leah.
out and tackle that. If you want to talk about fairness in sport, I think we've already described you can't. Sports are, by their very nature, not fair. I just described tryouts. What is a tryout other than saying that kid is better than that kid, so that kid gets to play? This is the nature of competitive sport,
And
right?
let's not kid ourselves, tryouts are not all about skill.
They are
There's
not.
a lot of politics in both men's and women's sports and tryouts.
So if you want to tackle that though, and we're saying like, hey, sport is inherently unfair, not everybody is going to get to play because of these just genetic predispositions. Then more spots for sports is the solution. Not fewer, more. More rec leagues, more co-ed leagues, more lower tier leagues that aren't as competitive, that aren't on the college track is the solution to that. But if the third and most likely rationale behind this legislation is a fear around trans people, period, then that is not a rational fear. And the solution to that is not anything to do with legislating girls' sports. It's about educating the public. That is the real solution to that problem, right? So if it's one of those three things, but either way, the solution they came up with is not the appropriate one.
I think to echo Leah's points, more leagues would obviously be a huge benefit, but in order to do that, we need more funding. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's a lot of Canadian athletes at the Olympic level who are not even funded, who fund themselves to go to the Olympics to compete. But that would be a huge solution. That would be a huge win. You put more money towards sport, more people in the right places, you're going to get the divisions that you want. You're going to listen, like I had a trans athlete come up to me at a pride event recently that my wife was singing at. And he was like, I want to play rugby, but there's nowhere for me. And I'm like, okay, and he goes, what's your rugby club? Like, will they accept me? And I go, I don't know. I've never actually asked them, but I will. And to me, they're very inclusive. But like, I've never had somebody want to join in it, and you would be playing with the men's league, right? And the thing is that if we had more leagues, I bet you this trans athlete would want to compete in a different league. Like you have to think. Like I was like, are you would be comfortable competing with them? And he was like, not really, but I want to play. I want to play, so that means I have to go there, and I don't know if they'll like, 'cause there's already this barrier of acceptance because he's different. But I can assure you that for the most part, like, if there's a place for people to go, they'd probably rather go there. And so I think that would be a huge solution. But ultimately, you want to protect, female sport. Give funding. We need money, safe spaces too. We need safe spaces and funding, and we got to start there. There's this notion that, women's sport doesn't matter. Like, honestly, the women's sport doesn't sell. Like, it's just hurting. Like, fund it. It's easy. And so that's just the one point I want to make, 'cause as an athlete myself, like, oh no. My daughter's crying.
Oh no.
Oh, it's okay.
Well, yeah, I think we all kind of are right now.
Yeah, I as an athlete growing up, like I paid to go on tour, thousands and thousands of dollars, and that's hard, right? So, ultimately, I think funding is a huge solution, and we need more of it, 100%.
All right, well, we're getting close to wrapping here, so just the last couple of questions. Leah, I've got one for you. What is your sense when it comes to your children competing against transgender women?
I have no issue with my children competing against transgender women. I think even say 10, 15 years ago, volleyball was a really, really white sport. And there was outreach made into communities, and our sport has become more diverse in that way, and we're the better for it. Like even, and like obviously that's a different type of diversity, but even the kids learning about Ramadan and what it means to support one of their players, like when they're fasting, and how you can protect her and make sure because that she can succeed and everything and have a successful game and not feel left out. That's been a huge boon for my kids to be around more kinds of different athletes. Am I worried about like their safety? Absolutely not. Do I think that there should be some considerations made, especially in terms of like how that athlete will feel comfortable in change rooms and stuff? Sure, right. But the same goes, honestly, for girls that have some sort of like modesty as part of their culture. That applies in change rooms as well, right? We like a very small thing, but recently in volleyball, girls started to be able to wear leggings, which blew the door open in terms of which girls could play. Because all of a sudden, girls that could not play because of modesty restrictions within their culture were allowed to, right? Or like those same athletes often aren't necessarily comfortable changing in front of their teammates, so they're provided with separate spaces. That there's a path already here, and I think it just sort of like broadens the horizons in terms of the kids that my kids get to meet and interact with, and especially like in Alberta, like we're becoming progressively more diverse, and that's a great thing. And I just want to see it keep going. I have zero issue with it. My girls have zero issue with it. Their teammates have zero issue with it. In general, if we're hearing anything, it's unfortunately coming from parents that are, I don't want to say uneducated because I think that can be patronizing sometimes. But let's say that they are uninformed. They've been provided with this, with a lot of this type of information, but they haven't been provided with a counter.
Yeah, and Quinn used the word, the term trans women, but we're talking about trans girls. They're young athletes.
12-year-olds.
One final question, and this one, goes to Jen. For girls who are listening and feeling anxious right now, what's your message? What's your message to them?
Well, I said it on Threads, and my heart is out to them. There is a place for you in sport, regardless of what politicians are saying. Sport has always been about breaking barriers, women fighting for the right to play, Jackie Robinson breaking into baseball, Indigenous athletes paving the way, inclusion of trans and non-binary athletes is the next chapter. And I'm so sorry that you're currently right now in this position, where 1 year you're playing with your friends at age 11, and then age 12 you lose all that. Please do not lose hope. There's people like myself and Leah and Claire and Quinn fighting to include you into sport, because sport is for everyone. And to say otherwise is to me unethical. Like it is truly, sport is just, sport saved my life. And so I just really want these kids to know that there are people fighting for them, and they do matter, and hopefully, things will change in the right direction. It's so sad, and I also encourage young athlete who's excluded to reach out to me and talk to me. I know what that's like too, with playing football and not being welcomed and having to change schools because they wouldn't allow me to. And I get a little bit of that. But also, like, I hope the people around them, protect them as well and their friends, basically.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. And also, I just want to remind, anybody that's listening, that the extreme tends to be the loudest. We are doing our best now to get as loud as we can, in your support. And I hope you do feel that. Jen Kish, Leah Elzinga, thank you both so much for joining us on this incredibly important episode of The Bits. For those listening, and interested in any of the research, we will be providing resources in the show notes, so please reference that. And let's keep this conversation going. Let's make sure that sport is for everyone. And all we can do is keep having these conversations one at a time, I think.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
And on that, as we always say, it is in fun. We want to leave on a positive as well. We will see you on another time.
See you on another time.